Good morning and welcome to the Mesa City Council study session for October the 8th. The first item on our agenda is not to review our regular council meeting agenda because we won't have a regular council meeting for a couple of weeks. Is that correct? So that is not happening, but we do have on the agenda to hear a presentation, discuss and provide direction on updated 2012 Parks Bond allocation. Mr. Hirschberg, good to have you with us. Look forward to your presentation.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning, Mayor Council. Mark Hirschberg, Director of Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities. So over the last few months, we've talked about the various bond projects and where we stand in terms of funding those and reallocating based on savings from other projects or projects that couldn't occur. Again, just as a reminder for those watching at home or that are new to the conversation, in 2012, voters approved a $70 million Parks and Recreation bond package. The bond focused on five areas: park conversion and improvement projects, community partnership projects, renovation and enhancement projects, new development park projects, and bike and pedestrian path projects. To date, we're halfway spent there. $35 million has been spent throughout the community. So as we go through this slide, you'll see some different columns here. The first one is the original budget when the bond was first set up and we worked through these projects and created estimates of what we thought of what that original budget was. Then, based on some of those savings from other projects, as I mentioned earlier, the revised budget that we came back to and discussed. Following the conversations over the last few meetings, the recommended budget is what we believe I've heard from you all on direction of where to go and to take these projects into the future, and then an estimated initial O&M costs, which we would need to identify through the budget process to make these projects happen. So in the park conversion and improvement projects, developing city-owned vacant land into usable park space, Signal Butte and Elliott is the final piece of the property that needs to be developed for us to complete our conversion with the federal government from the Riverview Land Exchange to complete those requirements. So some improvement there to provide access to the property. The original budget for that project was $3.4 million. We've revised that originally based on our previous conversations to $1.8 million. And at this point, we're recommending $1.4 million be spent there to complete that or to initiate that project and provide the public access to that trail system and parkland there. The estimated initial operations and maintenance needed would be $245,000, and at that site, that is an expense that's eligible for environmental compliance fee.
Mr. Hirschberg, do you mind just helping me get, maybe to set the table a little bit? Mm-hmm. We've got more good projects than we have money at this point, right? I mean, that's the situation we find ourselves in. For example, this project was initially budgeted for $3.4 million. You're now recommending $1.8 million. And we're going to keep walking through various projects where you say we wanted X, but we recommend we spend Y. So can you just remind us financially what's the situation we've got?
So, Mayor, as you mentioned, we have the money for the capital in a lot of these areas. But over the time of the projects, as we've met with the community, and it's different for each project, to be honest with you, of why the needs have changed or why the dollar amounts have changed. Some of it's been, as we worked with the community, there was a reduction in scope. They didn't want to see as much improvements there that we had originally proposed. In the case of Signal Butte and Elliott, there was a change in state statute with the impact fees. And then once we started building all these projects, we had to start paying impact fees on all the projects, which we didn't plan on originally. So that project was one of the ones that was far into the future at the time. So we took those savings to pay we took those impact fee dollars at that time for that project, knowing that it was further out. Hopefully the economy would recover and we would be able to throw some extra dollars there, or there'd be savings from other projects to move in there. In other cases, projects changed locations, so additional funds were needed. That's in the case of the Mesa Aquatic Center, which is at Mesa High. That project was originally slated just to be rebuilt at Taylor Pool. The community said, "Hey, move that to Mesa High School." we needed additional dollars there to make that happen. So dollars were taken from another project to make that project whole, and now we've tried to restore some of these based on the conversations that we've had with all of you, as well as what we've all had with members of the community of what the priorities are and where we're going. So where we stand today is trying to identify where those projects should be allocated. And then we also have, the bond does not finance the O&M, the ongoing operations and maintenance of these projects once they're completed. So it's trying to identify through the budget process, as we've done for the last few years as these projects have come online, where those dollars are going to come from and how to fund those ongoing operations and maintenance dollars. So that's really, we have some capital dollars out there to do it, but we have a shortfall on the operations and maintenance side in the budget.
Okay.
To be able to move forward with those projects to complete.
And Mayor, I think also significant in that is the decision we made not to pursue the Buckhorn Baths project. That was a significant dollar amount that was setting aside. So I would, to Mr. Hirschberg's point, there's really only a few projects where we're doing less than was originally anticipated. I mean, we're obviously not doing the entire Buckhorn Baths project, but you see the Signal Butte project, you see the Monterey Park project, you see the Kleiman project.
That's about it.
That's it. Those have been, well, either in Buckhorn eliminated or those others have been, the budgets have been revised. We've worked with Councilmember Thompson in the revision downward of some of these projects out in the east side of the community, just recognizing the larger goal kind of perspective was to do something even much bigger than what we had originally planned. And instead of trying to do it in a piecemeal effort, we've decided to kind of pull back and wait for another round in the future where we could fully fund those. We've had to spend some funding in Monterey just to acquire the property and do some of the parking in that area. Signal Butte, we still had to keep some dollars in there because we've made a commitment to the under our federal requirements to develop that park. That's part of the exchange we did when we took over the park area, some of the park area at Riverview. That was part of our land exchange. So we need to still meet that obligation. Beyond that, then it became kind of a reallocation that you should see in almost all the other projects, an increase above the original budget that was in the what we took to the voters. So other than the four that I mentioned, after that, you'll see an increase, either a reallocation of the bond funds, or we've been able to leverage federal dollars, CDBG dollars to assist. On the maintenance side, you'll notice that this time we've gone around and kind of, there's been some opportunities. We've looked at some of these park projects. Eagles Park is one, for example, whereas we've looked at the opportunity to kind of do a dual purpose where we're designing it so that it will also help retain floodwaters, drainage during heavy rains, as well as serve as a park. That helps us meet the or helps us also to maybe fund that with, as Mark was mentioning here, in the environmental compliance fee. So that takes some of that pressure off coming out of the general fund. We can maybe use those fees specifically. The other balance of dollars, and I think Mark has it at the end, where the impact of the general fund on the O&M side is not nearly as significant as was because we've been able to identify maybe some of these few other projects where it could use environmental fee. But also, Council, I think, is just to recognize it's not, these projects will, many of them haven't even started, so it's not next year's budget. It's over the next two, three budgets. So I think all we're telling the Council is, we're comfortable moving forward with the design and moving forward the implementation. It just means that when we're making budget decisions, we're going to come to Council and say, kind of at the top of the list, because we're already creating the obligation by building out the parks and opening them, that will be what we'll suggest as our first priority to come off the top in the budget. The dollar amount that's left to be funded from the general fund going forward over the next couple of years, I would tell you that I'm confident we could move forward with these projects, and I believe that over the next 2 years, we'll find a way to absorb those costs. But I'm just telling Council, from a priority standpoint, it'll be above all the other priorities in the budget. It'll be the first thing we'll fund because we're creating the obligation with the commitment of these parks. So that's our intention, I don't think there's a project here now that we've looked at that says we wouldn't pursue to hold up because of maintenance. It's our way of just reminding councils when we come to budget and you see that parks budget kind of take the first number off the top, that's why. And that's kind of maybe the way we wanted to suggest it from a prioritization standpoint.
Great. Thank you. I think that kind of helps remind us and set the stage for what it is we need to talk about. So, but particularly with regard to this project at Signal Butte and Elliott, that's also the site of where the city's making a huge investment with a water treatment plant. And so is the plan here to just kind of maybe phase in the improvements that we had estimate or planned for there and see to what extent there's some cost savings that can be incorporated into?
It's that, and we've scaled back the project a little bit. It's a unique location. It's a prominent corner, but it'll be a significant investment with the water treatment plant. But we've got some interesting natural amenities running through there with the washes and stuff, and the idea is to kind of create some trails. And but we think that we can meet our obligations. Our first, I guess, response is let's meet the minimum obligations of the federal requirements. And then, like you said, maybe in the coming years, we'd look to add to those amenities to make it a really nice kind of outdoor experience, trails and pathways going around the water treatment plant. And by doing it also softens the look of that big treatment plant at that mm-hmm. corner at Signal Butte and Elliott and Mesa.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt your presentation, Mr. Hirschberg.
Not a problem. The community partner projects, these are projects that we are working with Mesa Public Schools, converting vacant school properties into parks. Eagles Park, the former Mesa Junior High, as Mr. Brady mentioned, this is a property where we had $3.5 million originally budgeted. We've been able to secure additional federal grant dollars to bring the revised budget and the recommended budget to $6.5 million. The ongoing costs, the initial upfront costs for maintenance and operations of that property is estimated at $680,000, of which $430,000 of that would be available, as Mr. Brady mentioned, by turning a lot of that into retention space, is eligible for the environmental compliance fee as well.
I'm sorry, is that $680,000 annually?
These are the initial costs that we need within the budget just to get going. So there's some one-time purchases in there for pickup trucks or whatever, the staff that's going to work on those properties, if we need additional mowers or tools or whatever the different cases and the different scenarios. So those are some one-time costs. But we put in there the amount needed, including those one-time costs, to get going, and then the price goes down for the ongoing operations and maintenance. In this case, it's about, I believe, the one-time costs that Eagles are about $80,000, so ongoing $600,000. And a larger portion of that is with the gymnasium there, so there's HVAC and lighting and power and electrical and keeping that gymnasium functioning as a community center. Fiesta Sports Park, this is the fields at the Mesa Education Center. Again, just the fields. This one is included in the, we've talked about this one, moved on. We're adding an additional $100,000 there to include a playground feature that we weren't able in that to squeeze in that 5.2 of the original budget. So we're at $5.3 million. This is included in the budget forecast for fiscal year 16-17, and we are prepared to begin construction in January of 2016 and get that project moving and move forward and ready for the community to use within 9 months, hopefully. Renovation enhancement park projects. These are renovating and enhancing the existing park system. As I mentioned, Kleinman Park was a site as we worked with Councilmember Glover and the community where the community desired to see less improvements there. Still going to make some improvements to the playground and clean up the tennis courts that are no longer functioning and replace some fencing and some other stuff and make some park improvements there. But we've reduced that from the original budget of $3,550,000 to $1.3 million, and there's no change in our existing budget since that's already within our operations.
I think it's interesting, and I'm sorry for doing so much talking here, but I think it's interesting to note that the neighbors didn't want to lose the track there, right? This is the old Powell School we're talking about?
That's at Fiesta Sports Park, the previous one. This is at across the street, across 8th on Kleinman.
Okay. But part of the neighborhood feedback was, please don't take away our track because we enjoy, we're using it and we don't want to lose it.
Yeah, that was a huge comment there is, you know, we're adding baseball, little league fields, and using the concept we have at Quail Run with two skin fields and two grassed infields. But the big comment was, that's great, but can you make sure you leave the track? Because we use that a lot as the weather cools off to walk around and there's some fitness stations there. So we're going to actually move a set of lights that are at that location now that are in pretty good shape. We're going to move those to the track area so that it becomes more usable throughout the year. Pioneer Park, again, based on the conversations we've had the last few months, what I've heard repeatedly is that you desire to see a Riverview-esque park and play feature there, something that really draws people in. This was a project that, as I mentioned, we with the Mesa Aquatic Center, we originally started with $6 million. We took money from this project to make that project happen. We went down to $3 million. Through savings from other projects, we were able to get it back to $5.45 million, and then again, based on the conversations that we've had the last few months, to get where we believe that conversation is headed to create this unique play space, is we need about $7.95 million. So we've identified that through the savings that Mr. Brady was discussing, through reductions in other projects, Monterey Park, and reallocation of some of these funds. Some of the Kleinman dollars that we weren't spending there were moved over here, etc. So the splash pad, there is going to be some increased maintenance costs for that project just because of the amenities we're adding there. So we would need an additional $390,000 to make that happen. And again, a large part of that is the addition of the splash pad and the cost to operate that amenity.
So I'm sorry, let's talk to me about how we're going to bridge the gap between 5.45 and 7.95. Are we going to go ahead with the initial design and start moving dirt around and then hope that the economy is encouraging and we can rob from Peter to pay Paul?
Mayor, this money, as we're coming back, what we started with in the original budget to the revised budget to the recommended budget, those dollar amounts are all the same. So it's $30 million roughly that we're just reallocating from one project to another to make those happen. So that money is available through the bond program move forward with the construction. The dollars that we need to close that gap on, as Mr. Brady mentioned, over the next couple of years as these projects come online, is that last column of the maintenance dollars. So that the numbers in that third column and the recommended budget are available through the bond program. So it's just been reallocating from these different, from savings from different projects. Kleinman was a big one. Buckhorn Bass was a big one. So that's where we've reallocated, and we've talked to you about in the past those projects, what those dollar amounts have equated to and where we've reallocated them. And then continuing to refine those numbers based on the conversations from the last few meetings we've had.
Yeah, we took the conversation from the last study session is there was several comments about addressing the Pioneer Park and really making it a significant regional park. And so as a result, we went back and tried to balance out the allocation of dollars to all the projects. And taking this project from its original $6 million and not quite adding another $2 million to it. But that's why this number, this is now the, based on the last conversation we had, that's what we're coming back and saying. Now, it's a totality, it's a whole package, so we have to look at all the numbers inside of that recommended budget column to balance this out. But what we're suggesting is just less than $2 million be added to the original budget. It's been an evolving number. I think Pioneer Park's had four or five different numbers to it, but today we're suggesting that number be just short of $8 million.
Thank you, I get it. Mr. Thompson.
And Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the reasons that we're doing this as well is because our maintenance dollars, we already have a maintenance contract on Pioneer Park. Right. One, it doesn't increase the maintenance cost per se, whereas if we built the new park over in Monterey, over in my district, or expanded Signal Butte, that would be an additional cost.
It'd be significant. It'd be much more than, yeah. Here, this is just the small incremental addition because we're adding splash pads and some other amenities that would require a little higher level maintenance than we have today. But that's correct. That's a very good point.
Thank you.
The Greenfield Park and Urban Fishing Lake, this was an original budget of $2.5 million. As we've discussed with you in the past, just based on the ongoing increase in construction costs to make that happen, we've recommended an additional $1 million for that project. That's remained consistent for a total project budget of $3.5 million. And again, the estimated initial operations and maintenance expenses would be $215,000, and because of that location and it functions as a basin, those would again be expenses that are eligible for the environmental compliance fee. The Museum and Cultural Resources, the federal building, is the History Museum expansion. And then again, we've moved through this project, the original budget was $3 million. The revised budget was $5.7 million. Again, based on the conversations over the last few meetings we've had and trying to get everything to balance out and move forward, based on the conversations we've had, we're recommending a budget of $5 million for that project. And then my understanding is no O&M costs to the city moving forward.
Thank you. And I know that there's folks here from the museum that I've invited to come and speak, but I think what we're just for folks in the crowd, I think we'll make it through Mr. Hirschberg's presentation. And then I see some other folks here that might want to weigh in on some of these. And so we'll hear from the Mesa Historic Museum at the conclusion of Mr. Hirschberg's presentation. And then if there's other folks in the crowd that want to take, you know, items from citizens present, we'll entertain that at that time as well. Thank you.
And then Monterey Park, which we've talked about, and again, this, we've acquired land there. We've acquired two different parcels. We originally had $5 million in that budget. We spent $3.6 million to acquire that land. That remaining budget of 1.4 has been reallocated towards Pioneer and these other projects and the museum to make those a reality and make those happen. So again, what we're doing there, the additional property there, the trees that we've added, the parking lot and the drive and everything, those are already included in our current budget. And then we'll continue to come back hopefully in the future and make the final improvements to that property. So again, we've reallocated, as I mentioned, close to $30,950,000 to complete the projects. And again, based on the last two presentations, I believe that's what we've heard, and we've tried to capture those and reallocate those accordingly so we can make everything a reality. As far as the initial operations and maintenance budget, we're looking at $1,530,000 needed. $890,000 of that is eligible for the environmental compliance fee, and $640,000 is the impact to the general fund. As I mentioned earlier, those costs, that's the one-time cost for some initial startup, one-time purchase things that need to occur to get us going. And then the ongoing operations goes down to $1.13 million, $650,000 of which is eligible for the environmental compliance fee, and then the impact, $480,000 to the general fund.
And Mayor, just quickly, as we go through these numbers, I think it's sometimes we got to just remind ourselves where it came from. In every case, except for the parks we've identified, Kleiman, Monterey, Signal Butte, and of course Buckhorn, all of the other projects that were originally budgeted and what was presented in the bond allocation, almost all the projects are either getting the amount of money that they are committed to, or in this case, they're all getting additional dollars. So I'm hoping this is a good news opportunity, really, because, and I know it's hard because we're trying to figure out how to take those extra dollars and figure out where to put those from a priority for our community. But we've struggled really hard because every project's a great project and trying to balance out what we've heard from council. But the good news is I think at this point we're down to projects that are getting more money than we had originally budgeted. It's just trying to figure out how to balance out how much more they should get and what our ultimate goal is to get there. But the good news is I think you can see we're halfway through or almost nearly halfway through the program, and we're probably going to deliver a little bit more than what we actually promised when we went to the voters. So I think that's the good news here. So
Thank you.
You, Mayor, Council, you asked for a map also of facilities. I've provided that for you in front of you as well as a printout. It's a little hard to get to show up on the screen. Just highlighting all of the city's own facilities. We're in the process of working with GIS to map the additional requests that you had about HOAs and some of those properties. So that's a pretty cumbersome task, but we are in the process of taking that on and can provide that at a later date. But just wanted to at least give you locations and a map identifying city-owned properties.
Great. Thank you. I think this map is useful for us and also for the public. If there's folks out there that feel like their neighborhood or their part of town is being underserved, then here's a map that you can look at that'll either confirm that or make you feel better about where you are in the scheme of things. So thank you for preparing this. I'm sure we'll all get a lot of use out of it.
Sure.
Council, if you don't mind, I think at this point I'm going to invite some of the folks that are here to speak on these topics up, and then that might give us more things to talk about at the conclusion of the presentation. Thank you, Mr. Hirschberg.
Pleasure, Mayor.
I'll invite now Elisa Anderson and Brian Allen from the Mesa Historic Museum Board up. As you know, one of the projects that we just heard about is the federal building, and it's being improved to accommodate a Mesa Historic Museum facility. So, Lisa, Brian, thank you for being here. Look forward to hearing more about the museum.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Brian Allen. I'm a Mesa resident and a business owner, but I'm here today as the board chair of the Mesa Historical Museum. And I want to just, we're here today to talk about priorities. And so I want to give you a little bit of a couple of things to think about as you decide what are your priorities in determining how to allocate the bond fund. And I want to give you just three things to think about. One is, if you recall back to the IMESA program that was started by Mayor Smith in 2011, it was designed as a process to solicit and synthesize citizen feedback on what was important to the citizens. And out of that process came a list of projects, the top two of which were both heritage preservation projects. One was the Buckhorn Baths, and one was building a history museum in downtown Mesa in the federal building. That information was conveyed through the citizen process to the council, and then that was used to go out and do the campaign for passing the bond project. In fact, if you look at even the ballot language of the bond project, it talks about constructing parks and aquatic facilities, but it also mentions museums specifically. And I think that's important to remember as you prioritize how to allocate the funds from the bond, that it was initially and continues to be a priority of the citizens to allocate funds toward historic and heritage preservation and specifically towards a new museum in downtown Mesa. And as a Mesa native, it's of personal interest to me that a city of our size have a place where we preserve and present our history, both to those of us who have been here a long time and those who are new. So that's one reason to consider making this a priority. It's consistent with what the voters told us in the bond election through the IMESA program. The second thing is it's a downtown project. It will provide an opportunity to have a new cultural amenity in downtown Mesa. As we all drive by the federal building every day and think of what it could be, we are ready to deliver a world-class museum, a world-class facility in the city-owned federal building and create a new attraction that'll be synergistic with the other cultural amenities that are in downtown Mesa. And I think with all that's going on in downtown Mesa and the desire and the push to redevelopment, our urban core, it'll be a great amenity for that. The third thing is, as we've talked about, our museum is a private nonprofit. We've had long-standing support relationship with the city, and we have certainly appreciated that support. It's been important to us, and we feel like we've worked well with the city. This will be a unique opportunity to provide a new amenity in downtown Mesa, but it will be at no increased operation and maintenance cost from what our current Heritage Services contract provides. So it's a shovel-ready project. A lot of work has already been done on the federal building to prepare it for its rebirth, and we are excited to be involved in the rebirth of that project. And the last thing I guess I'll just say is in terms of the staff recommendation today, I don't think it's fair to say that the original $3 million budget was ever designed to fund the full construction project. So it's not that the budget went from $3 million to $5.7 million just because of overruns or because of unexpected expenses. It was a reallocation of funds to actually build the museum, whereas before the original budget was to do the asbestos abatement and prepare the building. And now the staff recommendation is to reduce that number from 5.7 to 5 million. And I would just urge you to consider making it a priority and leaving the funding at the $5.7 million level, because the things that will be cut out, I mean, we can still do the museum, but the things that will be cut out are the architectural design, the real kind of character of the building that will make this downtown project an attraction and a great addition to the neighborhood. So we can do it on the cheap, but I'd urge you to consider allocating the full $5.7 million so that we can really do it right and consistent with the designs that I hope most of you have all seen that have already been reviewed and approved. So that's my pitch. Historic preservation, heritage preservation ought to be a priority for all of us. And we look forward to our continued relationship with the city. And I'd be glad to take any questions. And if there are any really hard questions, Lisa Anderson, who's the brains of the operation, will give very intelligent answers.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your service, Brian. And thank Lisa, thanks for your great organization. We look forward to our continued working with you. Council, any questions on this topic? Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Ms. Mickelson, have we received any requests? I see some people in the audience that I'm wondering if they want to weigh in on some of these, but we haven't received any requests to speak, have we? Okay, thank you. All right, council, discussion. Mr. Cavanaugh.
Thank you. I want to follow up on the presentation for Mr. Allen. And as many of you know, I was not born here, but I became a champion of historic preservation after moving here and discovering the great character of this community, the great heritage of this community, working with architects like Ron Peters and then activists like Vic Linoff, understanding all that we've lost in terms of buildings. And that made me an advocate during my first term on council. When the federal building was going to be given up by the feds, we had a choice. We were competing to acquire a facility for museum purposes. Our application was for joint use by the History Museum and the Museum of Natural History. Guess what we were up against? An SRO hotel. If you don't know what that means, single resident occupant hotel, that was a bid by a nonprofit in Massachusetts. And that's what we could have ended up with right there on at that location. But the federal government, I think, saw the wisdom of the application for that use. I never thought, and that happened in my second term, I believe, but a long time ago now, 15 years ago at least. I never thought it would take this long to actually, that the building would be vacant. But through the years, I think people have persevered. City staff have been very good. It was a complicated building to figure out how to use it after what the feds did to it throughout the years. And our engineer's office will tell you about the many surprises they think that they found in the building. And certainly that, as Mr. Allen said, that original budget was the estimate to kind of just get the building ready to do something with. To really prepare it for use by the Natural History Museum and the History Museum, you do need to have a conversion of a space use. And the intent, again, originally years ago in creating an arts and cultural district, which still exists by council resolution was to link all the museums together to create a walkable places of interest in the community. It's tied together, you know, very nicely, I think, with Light Rail. The building itself, again, as heritage, is significant. That is a, what's the story? Ms. Promory will always tell me, but Postmaster Farley from the Roosevelt administration came out actually to dedicate post office. And you don't often have a cabinet member come to a small community like Mesa to do that. And so that was an important feather in the city's cap. And so the building's played a huge role throughout the years. And I wasn't a historic preservation activist. I wasn't steeped in the history of Mesa. Didn't grow up here. I don't, quite frankly, understand all the rivalries between all the high schools, but Westwood, Mesa High, and all that. But I know, or you know, El Charro and Matas. But I picked up on that.
You don't want to open that.
I don't want to do that. But I think this. I've been affiliated with the museum now for 11 years, and the world of museums has changed tremendously during that time. And in my various roles for other board positions I've been on, I have heard really from people nationwide that we are one of the most progressive approaches to presenting exhibitions and particularly in the history museum world. And so I think this building offers a unique opportunity to showcase. I think the plans and designs for the exterior and interior of the building really will help really put the capstone on a great project. So heritage preservation was an important part of IMESA, an important part of the bond issue. And a big part of that went away when we couldn't make the contract work with Buckhorn. But I still think historic preservation is important, and I appreciate the dollars that have been allocated to the project. But I do know that staff and the board have, from the museum, has worked very hard with city staff to value engineer the project at the 5.7 figure. And, you know, reducing that budget by 15% nearly creates a challenge. And so my hope is, again, that we keep this as a priority. And I know that economic times are getting better, and I feel very confident after discussions with the mayor and city manager that better times are ahead. But I just hope that we, again, as a former outsider, that we value the opportunity that we have here. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Glover.
I want to echo Vice Mayor Kavanaugh's words. I think that we should keep it at the $5.7 million. My frustration is that when we first had this discussion right after the bond passed, we made it a priority, and I vividly recall us sitting here and saying, this needs to be finished before light rail, and it didn't ever happen. And so that's where my frustration with city staff is, why wasn't that made a priority when council and a majority of council gave you direction that didn't happen?
Mayor, I'd like to address that question because I think we did. We had the $3 million budget, and when that was brought forward and working with the Historical Society, they recognized that they didn't want to move forward with a $3 million project, and they requested that we hold off on starting the project. And I believe they met with – I was understood and had asked Lisa to meet with council to explain that, because I knew it had been articulated by council that was a priority, but the Historical Society requested that project be put on hold because they were not interested in moving forward with a $3 million project. They were hoping, and you know, again, playing out where we are today to see what was going to happen with other projects, as well as I think the anticipation was at some point there would be some fundraising also to help support the project. So if that didn't get communicated, I apologize, but that was my understanding that the Historic Society was going to share that with the council, and that's why that was delayed.
It's to my understanding that wasn't what happened or occurred, and so I think that what staff did was just wait enough time to so that it wouldn't be a priority, or they think that we'd forget about it. Because when we gave direction, Chris, you might disagree with me, but we clearly gave direction that we wanted this finished before light rail opened, and city staff put it on the back burner, regardless of whether that was $3 million or it came up to $5.7 million. City staff just disregarded what council direction was.
Other comments on the museum? Mr. Richens.
Well, we only have so much money to go around, so if you're going to put $700,000 more here, it's got to come from somewhere within this same budget. So
I'm more than happy to cut down on Pioneer Park.
Chris,
so I'm just saying.
Finish. Sorry. I was going to say that perhaps we want to look at some of the other high-ticket projects to do that. Yeah, I'm comfortable with the $5 million budget, but if the majority of the council is not, then so be it. The one thing I didn't see on the slide presentation was what a city obligation is going for ongoing operating expenses for the museum. I'd like to get a better understanding of what that number is and if it's affected at all by a larger project from 5 to 5.7. My hunch is no, that it wouldn't have a huge increase in ongoing expenses. That's pretty much...
Oh, between the 5 and 5.7?
Correct.
I don't think so. I think, and I heard again, and I think we've tried to make this very clear from the beginning with this project, was that the city was going to contribute the capital dollars, but the maintenance and operation costs related specifically to the museum space. And I say it that way because the city still plans on using the basement, is that fair to use that word, basement, for storage for the Natural History Museum. So we understand we would have to share for our proportionate cost, but everything outside of that area, those maintenance and operations, utility cost, janitorial cost, all those other costs would be borne by the Historic Museum. So that's why we've not included a number in the chart we showed you for that.
Okay. All right. I mean, we'll just have to play with the numbers if that's the direction the council wants to get. I mean, I don't know that I feel passionate about it either way. I like the Pioneer Park project a little bit better than this. I mean, if I had $5 million, I'd probably build a new museum from scratch instead of pouring it all into that building. But I understand the historic preservation, and that's an important component of what we're trying to do downtown. But So I think the discussion really needs to be on where we take an extra $700,000 if we're going to go that direction.
You know, and I'm kind of like Dave. I'm torn on this because I love history. You know, it's one of my favorite things is to look at old pictures and see where we come from and where we've been, because it kind of helps you tell where you're going too. But at the same time, you know, we're giving up a lot, or at least my district's giving up a lot to make a lot of this happen in other parts of the cities. And I just want to make sure that that whatever we're doing and going to do, that we're using our funds wisely. You know, the museum was originally budgeted for $3 million. If it were up to me, you know, and we didn't have the issue with the O&M side, I would say, you know, do the original $3 million, because I would love to put another 1.5 or 2 into my district and have a park. The fact is we can't do that. I'm fine with the recommended budget of $5 million. I think it would be behoove of the museum to maybe develop a plan to look at additional grant dollars, or is there fundraising, or is there something that we can do to partner with the museum to say, you know, hey, for every dollar that you fundraise, we'll give you a dollar up to a certain amount, you know, up to the 5.7 or whatever, you know, the full funding is. There's other avenues and other paths to get us there without, you know, shutting it down completely. But that's just me.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Luna.
First of all, Mark, I appreciate the presentation. This is very tough because we have Peter to pay Paul. How do we allocate these dollars? And it's a very difficult challenge that we're facing. I love the museum concept as well. I think it's a great idea to try to continue to preserve Mesa's heritage and have that piece and have a building that we can do that. But it is a real challenge. And fortunately, well, for my sake, all these parks are out of my district, so it doesn't really affect me that much. But it's going to be a difficult challenge if
You know, and I'm not sure where we're going to come up with another $700,000. I'm trying to wrap my mind around that. Where do we come up with the $700,000? One of these parks one of these projects is going to have to give up, or we're going to have to look at maybe cutting some funding for our, some of these projects. But quite frankly, I'm in a dilemma. I'm not sure which one we would do that to.
Mr. Vinner.
So prior to this meeting, in fact, prior to, I didn't know any of this was going to kind of unfold on this. I met with Mark Hirschberg and I said, I want you to think of a way to a minimalist approach to Greenfield Park. Right, that park has been there for 26 years. It's gorgeous. When you go out there, you feel like you're in, you know, up in the mountains. It's been a fishing lake just by natural evolution from SRP water going into the lake. So my kids and my grandkids and scouts that I've taken there, we've been fishing there for 26 years. I've even talked to Mark about how do we not do anything there and just make it a fishing lake, but they tell me there's tremendous regulations with the state and other things and we wouldn't be able to do it. So I'm willing to, and I didn't want to make this in the spirit of being a team player, trying to figure out how we can get that to a fishing lake portion, much like what Gilbert has in their riparian state. Hopefully you could go to that park and for less money than maybe we're thinking about spending on it, have a up in the mountains kind of experience with lots of trees and sloping green grass, and families do it every weekend out there. And so I would say I appreciate all the sacrifice, the additional monies that went to Mesa High and others. So if there's a way to do something there, I'd put that on the table as maybe a way to find some of this difference. So
thank you. I think this is a great presentation. So thank you to Mr. Hirschberg. Thank you to staff for going up back and squeezing these issues a little more, trying to figure out how we can do this effectively. I see this not as much as a parochial issue as might be evident on first blush. I think these are citywide amenities that are used. If we were to go and ask the people of Riverview Park right now what neighborhoods they live in, it's going to be not only from all over the city of Mesa, it's going to be from all over the valley, because that is a magnet that is attracting people from everywhere. And to me, it's neat to see what a great amenity a playground is. I mean, I think a lot of us had forgotten what a real prize a playground can be in a community. So, and I think those are the types of amenities that we're talking about building here at Pioneer Park, at the museum, the other things we're talking about, a fishing lake. It's going to be people from all over the valley that are coming to use these facilities. So it really is. I think I appreciate the citywide approach and the willingness of council to not think parochial as we try to figure out how to spend this money. I also appreciate staff commitment with the environmental compliance fee angle to this. It has helped us to address some of the maintenance challenges. I think is a real. I appreciate that out of the box thinking so that we can figure out how to get these things built. I am a Mesa native, and I have a lot of passion for the museum, and I could bore us with a lot of stories about my personal time spent in the federal building and so on, but I'm going to try my best not to do any of that. But I think that the whole topic of heritage preservation is important, and it's one, frankly, that I think we need to spend a little more time thinking about, because, and I'm not suggesting we delay the museum, but here's, someone else in the community pointed this out to me a few weeks ago. Right now, I think we've got the Mesa Historic Museum Board, which is great. I'm an alumni of that organization, and I appreciate the good work that they do, but we also have a City Historic Preservation Board. We also have a Mesa Historic Foundation that does great work, and I see, Vic Linoff and Ron Peters have done great work through that organization. We also have the Mesa Room at the Mesa Library that has a nice collection of Mesa's history. And it seems a little disjointed to me that we've got really four or five different directions where I would like to see a more cohesive approach to preserving and getting the resources and the assets that people are interested in regarding Mesa's history available to the public. So I'd like to find a way to get those four organizations in the same room and say, to what extent do we, can we work better together under some unified arrangement? And I wonder if that might impact the design of this museum just a little bit. The museum's design is great. It's been, I saw that it's, there's some professionals from Gyroscope, I think is the name of the company, that's done a very quality design. But I don't feel like there's been a whole lot of citizen input into that design. And it makes sense because it's being operated by a private 501c3. It's not by the city of Mesa, and that's frankly an advantage for us. That relieves us of the obligation of maintaining the building. But I wonder if it hasn't, maybe we need to vet it a little bit more with some community input on the design to see if there's some of these other functions that could possibly be incorporated into it. I'm not particular, well, and there's a few things that the museum, I think, would admit that they plan on doing before this project goes forward. I believe, as I look at the budget, it's not anticipated that this building would open for another 3 years. It's going to be the fall of 2018. And so for that reason, I'm not overly concerned about the gap between the 5 and 5.7, because I think between now and 2 years from now, when we're actually going to be spending this money, you know, that's a different council, that's a different, I mean, who knows, that we might have another downfall or downturn in the economy, or we might have a huge uptick in the economy. There's just, we do have to go forward with the budget, but I think there's going to be a lot of city council meetings and a lot of changes that might occur between now and then that would impact that, the difference between 5.0 and 5.7. I do want to see the museum done in a good way. We need another destination downtown. And the two museums that we have right now, I think, are very successful. They reach capacity at times, and they actually turn people away because they are very, very successful. So adding another museum to that collection of assets would be great, and it would be a great use for this real asset and this building that we have. So I've said more than I wanted to, but I'm okay with going forward at 5.0, but frankly, I want to spend 5.7. I think it's just kind of a placeholder almost at this point. So I guess I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I'm not particularly worried about the difference between 5.0 and 5.7. I think by the time we get to building it, by the time the museum does some fundraising, we get some a little more community enthusiasm around the project, and it's a year from now or 2 years from now, I think we'll be building the museum that the museum wants to have built. So how is this agendized? Do we need to make a motion, Mr. Brady? Do you need some direction from us on the hard numbers here?
Yeah, I mean, Mayor, we...
it does say provide direction.
Everything's kind of in a holding pattern until we have that direction, because these numbers are important as we negotiate contracts, so it allows us to move forward with the projects. Yes, okay. So that direction would be important to have.
Well, help me then, maybe Mr. Hirschberger, Mr. Brady, if we want to just, if we need to go out for bid for some of these contracts, my understanding is that the bids, it absolutely is a priority for me that we go forward as quickly as possible on some of these parks issues. I don't want, Pioneer Park, for example, I think is just a huge success waiting to happen, and I don't want to wait any longer than we absolutely have to. So if we need to go out and make some hard decisions, I want to fully fund those projects. My impression is that the museum project isn't going to go out to bid anytime soon. Again, as I look at their prospectus, it's talking in terms of 2 or 3 years from now is actually opening the doors.
Well, Mayor, as I understand it, and I don't want to speak for the museum, but my understanding is they would like to go out fairly soon. It's just the time it takes to complete the project. So. And I don't know how much time we lack between now, today, and when they would start construction. I'm thinking give me a number, 6 months, 9 months? Or Beth, thank you.
Beth.
if we gave direction to move forward now, what's the additional work that needs to be done to start construction?
9 months or a year? 9 months? So right now we're at 95% design. There'd be a certain amount of value engineering, but we've had some meetings to that end already. that have to be done, but we could be very quickly ready to have a GMP in at council in a couple of months probably, and then a 9-month construction period. So probably in under a year, we could have a museum ready.
So the dollar amounts, as you said, Mayor, I mean, we can do it a couple of different ways. You can build to the $5 million with the idea that we design the we have design that allows us to pick up the other $700,000 or a million or whatever it might be for a later time on a separate contract. That certainly can be done. But today, with this direction, we would move forward to completing the design and begin bidding out and negotiating the contracts over the next 6 months or so.
Okay, well, maybe I have a question for Brian or Lisa then, because Brian and Lisa, as I look at the prospectus that you provided for finances for the museum, the proposed budgets, it looks like you're, and I appreciate you providing that to us, but it looks like you're anticipating opening the doors on the museum fall of 2018. It looks like city staff is ready to hand you the keys to a museum fall of 2016. So help me rectify that.
We're ready and interested to move as quickly as we can. I think that date was based on some understandings we had of construction timing and permits and that kind of stuff. But if city staff is telling us they can do it much quicker than we anticipated, we're all in favor of that, and we'll get a museum up and running much sooner than when we thought.
Okay. Now, let me be a pessimist for just a little bit. I think, and I've shared this with you before, I love our two city museums. They're wildly successful by any measure, but they're also wildly successful at losing money. It's not a money-making operation, operating a museum. And if we just hand the keys to you and you're responsible for operating it and maintaining it, how do you make that work?
Well, I'll make just one comment, and then Lisa can give some thoughts on that. But it's not designed to be a money-making operation. I mean, certainly we rely on city support for museums and historic heritage preservation. So it's not a for-profit entity, and we will continue to partner with the city and rely on the city for support. And to the extent there's a belief otherwise, that's not a fair belief, because that's just not the way museums work. But this museum will be unique and different, and maybe Lisa can visit for just a second about some different ideas that we have and how we'll make it successful.
I echo what you said, Brian. Museums are not designed to be profit-making enterprises. They serve the community in a number of ways. It's education institutions primarily. But in our case, we do certainly have a different model. We've shown over the last 11 years that we've successfully created a new paradigm for a history museum. We've taken ourselves from a kind of a sleepy little society-based museum that really didn't have community support or visitation or community support from the city, and turn it into something that has been a nationally recognized organization. We've won several awards, in fact, for our work. So what we've concentrated on is building community. Our entire model for our operations is based on us being a real catalyst for building community. And we've worked with the city in a variety of ways over the last several years, everything from centennials to the libraries, to all kinds of other partners in the community, to work on solving problems that we have, or to come together to celebrate our past, no matter what it is. We see our role as a center for building our community. So we've been very successful at that. In terms of finances, we've run a very clean operation for 11 years. History museums do not generally run the same way, say, a science or natural history museum would run. It's very different type of, it's like apples and oranges. But as a history museum goes, we are the best attended history museum in the Valley. And we do have support from across the region. We've worked hard to develop that support. So for our perspective, I think that, we've shown improvement and growth over the last 11 years. Financially, we've never run a deficit. And we've been able to, at the same time, grow our programming and our service profile to the community every year.
And just one quick comment. one nice thing about being a nonprofit is we have open to us revenue sources that a city museum might not have, including we provide heritage services in other locations. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, we have put up baseball exhibits in several of the spring training facilities outside of Mesa. We have revenue from that that goes into the museum's coffers. So it will be unique in that regard because it's a nonprofit organization and that we can have access to other revenue sources and grants and opportunities that maybe a city museum may not have.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Luna.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it. I've known you for many years. I remember visiting the museum over at Lehigh, and you've done a tremendous job, as well as you, Mr. Allen. You know, we only have $5 million that's been allocated. If we look at phasing the other $700, is that something that you can work with, or do you have the capacity as a board? I remember when the Mesa Arts Center was built, we were short $4 million or something like that, and then there was a foundation to help move that project forward. Is that something that your board might want to look into as well?
We have, and we do, and it's our expectation. Included in that $5.7 million number already includes our fundraising efforts that we expect to be involved with, and I think it's fair to expect that we raise funds. And I think it's fair to expect that we raise funds in a similar percentage to what was done by the Mesa Arts Center Foundation. I believe in that case it was about 5% of the total project, and I could be a little bit off on that, but I think they raised about $5 million, and the project was about $100 million. I think it's fair to expect us to raise a similar percentage, and we intend to do that and have already put efforts in motion to begin that process.
So, Mayor, and just to be clear, because Brian, I heard you say something at the beginning that I want to make sure we're clear on. The city does contribute to the Stroke Museum today.
Absolutely.
But we do not have included, as we just went through this chart, we do not have budgeted from the city additional. Not. We assume we're going to continue making the same contributions that we are today. But we did not, because from the beginning, it was my understanding, and it may be incorrect, that the additional operational costs would then be absorbed by the museum as they moved in as a tenant inside the federal building. So, and that is something that I think we're still waiting to see inside of the performer that's been provided, is where those numbers and making sure those numbers are being accounted for as the Historical Society begins to identify, obviously with a new facility like this, additional memberships, additional or increased admissions and things like that. We get it. But I still think we're working on a business plan that identifies the true cost, or at least the anticipated cost related to the operations of this facility.
And Mr. Brady, the message has certainly been delivered loud and clear in that regard, that it's the goal to not increase the burden on the city. And absolutely, we look forward to working with the city and fine-tuning our pro forma budget to make sure we've got in there everything that we need to have an accurate budget. We've made an initial attempt at a pro forma. I'm sure that will change, and we look forward to working with city staff to making sure we've got everything in there we need to.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I saw your pro forma budget. I would love for the city staff, frankly, to look at that a little closer. Like I say, there is some real expertise at the city on operating museums, and I think that they can give you some valuable feedback as to what you ought to expect. I thought it was a great first effort. So I think we are, though, for everybody, thank you very much. At council, any other questions for the museum folks? Going forward, it seems like we do need to get these. We don't want to hold this back any longer. I sympathize with the frustration of those who want this to happen yesterday. I think we need to go forward. Like I said, personally, I hope the museum doesn't take offense if we approve $5 million instead of $5.7, because it's my hope and my expectation that we will build the museum that deserves to be built. But I think there is still a little bit of work that needs to be done with regard to crunching their budget numbers, and also perhaps giving some community input to the design, and possibly doing a better job on the larger issue of heritage preservation in Mesa. If this design accomplishes everything we want to accomplish in that goal or not. So rather than continue to talk about it, let's take some votes and move forward. I'd entertain motions from the council at this point.
I'd like to make a motion to move forward with the $5 million and go with the recommended budget that Parks has put forward.
Okay, there's a motion to go forward with the presentation with the money as allocated by staff in their presentation.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Richens. Any discussion on that?
I'll support the motion, but I'm going to do my darnest to work with staff to see if there's an opportunity to do some savings out at Greenfield. So,
okay. Thank you. Mr. Kavanaugh.
Mayor, I'll support the motion as well because I know that Mr. Fincher is very earnest in his efforts and comments about Greenfield. I think there are some opportunities, again, to improve what is already a great facility there, but I think he has some sound ideas that we might be able to reallocate some monies from there.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Mr. Luna.
Thank you for making that recommendation, Councilmember Fincher. I think I support the motion if we can tweak some things out and hopefully we can come to fulfill those budget shortfalls. I'm supportive of the museum. I want to move forward, but I understand that we're limited. But if we can do something like that, that was something that I would pursue.
Thank you. I'll support the motion as well. And I hope that, again, the museum understands that we're going to build a museum. Our goal is for this to be a successful museum. The last thing we want is for the museum to hand us back the keys saying, sorry, we couldn't make this thing work out. So we will do what we need to make this be a successful project. And I think you've heard that we're going to find the ways to bridge any financial gaps there in terms of preparing a quality museum. I hope that the Mesa Historic Museum and everybody in Mesa who's working on history is excited by this vote, but at the same time goes, oh crap, we now have a big challenge because this we're going to have to organize and call marshal everyone in the community that cares about history in an unprecedented way to do fundraising and to promote this project so that it's successful. So it's congratulations, but we now have a whole lot of work to do when it comes to making this museum successful. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. Okay, the next item on our agenda is information pertaining to the current job order contracting projects. Council, any questions about those projects? Thank you. Next item is acknowledge receipt of minutes from various boards and committees. Thank you. I'm sorry, Mr. Smith.
I don't think there actually are, Jill, ultimately. There aren't any. That was a placeholder. It's an artifact, actually. So
okay.
I thought we had a memo with the minutes.
There's appointments, but there's not actually any minutes.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was reading from the actual agenda calls for receipt of minutes from various boards, and there are none this week. That's
right.
Just a boilerplate. Yeah. So we don't have any of those. So we'll move on to 3A. 3A is appointments to the Human Relations Library, Museum, and Culture Advisory Boards. Everyone thinks this is a great idea. Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Congratulations to those who are serving on our boards. I saw on social media people expressing excitement for being appointed to these boards, so I think that's great. We've got a lot of people that are very excited to serve on those boards. We appreciate it. Next item is to hear reports on meetings and or conferences attended. Mr. Kavanaugh.
Thank you. This weekend and early this week, I attended the annual meeting of the American Public Transit Association conference. This is 2,000 folks from around the country involved in all various forms of transit. And I have to tell you, Mesa was considered a superstar. I was wearing my Central Mesa Extension shirt and got lots of kudos for our work on the extension and development in downtown. Mesa is going to be hosting the Southwest Transit Agency annual meeting in February, bringing together agencies and people from about, I think, about 10 states and close to 1,000 people coming to stay in our downtown because of our light rail, and they're very excited about coming to stay in Mesa next year.
That's exciting news. Thank you. Mr. Thompson.
Big congratulations to our Cubs who beat the Pirates last night to advance against St. Louis Cardinals in the playoffs. Good job.
Yes, thank you to the congratulations to the Mesa Cubs. Are the games going to be played? Are any World Series games scheduled for Riverview? Or
not? We're putting that petition in. See, okay. I have to add a few more bleachers. But.
All right. That is very exciting. Thank you, Mr. Luna.
Thank you. The mayor and I just returned on a trip to Mexico. It was a seven-mayor tour to Mexico City, and the whole idea was to build relationships between Arizona and Mexico, and just about some of the feelings that Mexican nationals might feel relative to Arizona. But it was a great tour. We visited a number of startup organizations, as well as met many high-level authorities in Mexico. So, and it was fun to hear Mayor Giles try to speak Spanish.
With a Korean accent.
With a Korean accent.
I'm not going to say anything right now because I would be really made fun of. I will join in with Mr. Luna in saying that this was a very valuable trip. It was organized at a level where we were meeting with cabinet-level people in the Mexican government, and they are very familiar with Mesa, Arizona, and there is work still to be done in repairing our relationship with Mexico, given some of the publicity that our state has generated over the last few years. But I thought we made some... I think they were very impressed that a group of mayors from Arizona were there and were talking about those issues, and I thought it was a great trip. One of the things that I think is worth noting, had the opportunity while we were there to meet with the new governor of Sonora, very impressive young woman that's only been in office about a month. She was very, very busy at that time because I think people know, but over the last week there have been two devastating floods in the city of Guaymas, in the state of Sonora. Thousands of people in Guaymas are homeless right now. And she very boldly and specifically said, we understand you are Guaymas' sister city. Will you please help us? So we've made some outreach from Mexico to a lot of our social service organizations and service clubs, and I look forward to the response from our community to the request from Guaymas for assistance. So thank you to those who are working on that, and thank you to the many that I think will get involved in that issue. Thank you. Next item on our agenda, is scheduling of meetings and general information. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Our next study session will be a week from today on the 15th at 7:30 a.m. We'll see you then.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to adjourn? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.